I think I give everybody one of the statements that John MacArthur has made. I'm going to use that statement and go down in the next few weeks and talk about the biblical principles that he's standing on, so we might be familiar with them as to why he's taking this stand and why it behooves us as Christians to take that stand also. I believe he's standing where he needs to, in a time that he needs to. We don't know what's going to transpire, but as the news reports come in, as I've said, the state of California, the governor and the mayor have threatened any church that stays open to cut their power, their water, and those kind of things, which is a very drastic measure. They don't have the right to do that. They don't have a constitutional right, but that doesn't keep Satan from carrying out his plan. He can do that, and it would leave Grace Community Church with no other option but to take it to court, and we know how court cases 2-3 years down the road. So in the meantime, what do you do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, John MacArthur has stated what they're going to do, and he's given us scriptures that we might understand that in a very clear way. Jesus said on one occasion, render to Caesar's what Caesar's, and render to God's what God, what's God. We go to the Acts of the Apostle, and we see Peter and the Apostle said, but we ought to obey God and not man. So what we need to do is write and divide those scriptures. He's not against what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Certainly we are to honor, and we're going to look specifically this morning at Romans 13 and 1 Peter. Those are the two chapters that will be quoted as to our responsibility to those who have rule over us. We're going to find that the government, the government powers have been ordained of God, but God's over all of it. And so we're going to understand that as citizens of the United States of America, as Bible-believing Christians, we submit to authority over us. Even when they don't do the right thing, we may not like some of the laws that they give, but just because we don't like them and they're not infringing on our Christian rights, we still are in submission to that. My brother, when I was in Texas, they already had a seatbelt law way before Alabama ever enforced theirs. So when I got back from Texas, I was already clicking. My brother, on the other hand, don't like wearing a seatbelt. And so he cut his seatbelt out of his car before they passed the law. When they passed the law, he had to do it. We may not like that law, but the law says get a click-it or ticket. It's for our safety. We know that it's been some proven facts. But whether here or there the law has been passed, that doesn't infringe on your right as a Christian. So we do that. We submit to that. We'll see the difference as we go along. The difference is when the church or when the government, when those in rule over us begin to dictate what we do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they begin trying to impose their laws on what we do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, as John MacArthur plainly says, they've overstepped their bounds. We then are in complete submission to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're already in submission, but that's where we go to. We go to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to just, what I passed out, and Sister Diane, if you need whatever, you can either go along with that or not. That's, I'm going to kind of go along the first part, and then we'll go to Romans 13 and verse Peter, another scripture too before we get there. But I'm just going to go down through there when I read his statement. The thing that you can learn to appreciate about John MacArthur is when his ministry says, we study the word one verse at a time. He attacks the word of God and allows the word of God to speak for itself, right in the dividing word, as it should. So anytime that he makes a statement, he's going to give you plenty of scriptures to back that statement up, as well he should. I don't have any right to tell you, well, this is kind of what we're going to do, and then not give you any scriptural support for that. And the reason I need to do that and you need to hear that is because you need to act on that scriptural authority just like I would act on that scriptural authority. It's my responsibility to tell you where we're at when something like this comes up. That is, when we think about an Old Testament day and even in the New, we're to sound the warning. We're to let you know what's going on. We're not to be asleep at the wheel. And although it may not affect us immediately, if that happens in California, it may be more immediate than you think. It's going to affect. It may be 2,500 miles out yonder somewhere. I may not even want the right way. But what happens to his church, and I'm not setting him above anybody else, but Brother John has taken it upon himself to be the clear cry for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll always appreciate him for that. And because he has, he's going to bear the wrath of whatever comes down the pike, which he's willing to do because he's going to stand where God would have him to stand. And we need to stand where God would have us to stand. No matter how this comes out, you need to understand what's going on and the biblical principles that you live your life on, because that's all we have, right? We don't have anything else. So we don't have anything outside the Bible. The Bible gives us direction as how we're to live our lives, what principles we're to implement in our lives, so that we might understand how that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we can know it. You know, I can't leave it to my own reason, because my reasoning goes away. My reason don't matter nothing. What matters is the Word of God. What does it say? And how do I understand that? You know, a lot of people understand a lot of different ways, but the Bible says you can't understand but one way, just one truth. And so we need to understand clearly what he's talking about. So here's his address. He made this statement. He said, a statement from John MacArthur and the elders of Grace Community Church. This is something they all had seen coming down the road and already prepared, which is another thing I appreciate. We don't need to be reactive. We need to understand before it gets here where we're going to stand as a church. So he says the title of his message or his statement was Christ, not Caesar, is head of the church. And that was, he put that on his website, I guess, Friday, July the 24th, when all this was coming down. He said, a biblical case for the church's duty to remain open. And this is where he goes. So he says this, Christ is Lord of all. He is the one true head of the church, Ephesians 1:22. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. All things to the church. And then Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. These are scriptures that emphatically teach you without any hesitation who the head of the church is. It's Christ. And his body is us believers, we that have professed a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have truly been born again, disciples of Christ. We're the body of Christ, and we're in subjection to the head. We'll always see that order all the way through here. Christ is the head, the body is in subjection to the head. That will never ever change. Christ is Lord of all. We even go further than that. He's Lord over the world, and we know that Satan claims that he's the prince of the power of the air. Well, that's what the Bible says he is. But he's a prince. Jesus is a king. So we see that even in his wickedness, he has boundaries set by our God. He can't go no further than he can. We believe that because we believe the book of Job. We saw what Job went through. We understand all those principles that are there. All right. And then Galatians, and we might turn to that. Galatians in the first chapter. Turn there as I read this particular scripture. And I want to kind of set up when I'm saying that he's head of the church, when you read these scriptures, there's something else that surrounds that. We're not just saying, I know that Christ is head of the church. I'm telling you that for a reason. And the Bible is telling us that for a reason. And it hooks everything together. There's no concepts in the Word of God that are not connected as far as we're concerned. So we don't need to have a disconnection or a disconnect. We need to understand this principle, but then we're going to read some scriptures or read that first chapter in Galatians and see how that kind of applies to us, how we should be reacting in a time like this too. Galatians 1:18 says, and he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the preeminence or the first place in everything. And that encompasses all of it. So, let's see what Paul says to this church as he's talking about that. Why he was moved by the Holy Spirit to pin verse 18 there in the midst of what he's talking to them about. And let's see what it goes to. We go to the beginning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Why, Paul? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. He's thankful for that. He had heard about something about this church, and that something is we heard of your faith in Christ and how that faith manifests so many times. And of the love that you have for all the saints. Brother Lamar was talking about a scripture this morning. It says, as we therefore have opportunity to do good to all men, especially the household of God, the saints of God. Why does he say that especially? Because we have a special love for one another that connects that the world doesn't understand. The world needs it. That's why he said do good to all men, you know. How did Jesus, you know, a lot of times we say, how does ministry start? How did Jesus do it most of the time? When we see him teaching, what did he do? He fed the multitudes. When he fed the multitude and they were eating, you know, a lot of times a message comes out of that. See, he met their needs, but he met their physical needs that he might speak to them about their spiritual needs. And so that's what the main focus is anytime that we would do something like that. But here, Paul is thankful that he hears of a faithfulness and a love that's manifest towards the saints. And that is directed or comes out of them because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. We are a hopeful people. We are full of hope. The Bible says that of all the people on the face of the earth, we should be the most hopeful because of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, all the blessings of God. We enumerate them over and over again that just flow from the throne of God in our lives because God has loved us with an everlasting love. And so we're a hopeful people. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we always need to remain that hopeful people. We always need to remain just as these were, being faithful in Christ, loving others, full of hope. That's encouraging for us as a people. We're encouraged by one another's talking to one another when we're going through something. We hope that God would bless us to say something that would minister to you. That's what we want to do. Why do we do it? Because we love one another. I want to see the best for you. I want to see you walking in the blessings of God, understanding His truths, and understanding the liberty that we have that truly is a lively hope, as Peter says, in Christ Jesus. He said, of this you heard before in the world of the truth, in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Here's another preacher that told Paul, you know what? These folks are the most loving people. I want to tell you about them. How does he describe them? Faithful, but he describes them as a loving people. A loving people. And how did they come to understand all that? The truth and the gospel. Where are you going to hear the gospel preached, brethren? I know you can go to YouTube. I know you can do it. It's good. I encourage you to do that here. There's some wonderful preaching. But where do we go on Sunday morning? Where do we want to go to hear the gospel preached? We want to go to the house of God. That's where we want to go. Now, the satanic forces of the world don't want you doing that. And so they've kind of orchestrated and moved around and all during all this pandemic and all, we decided, well, we better just shut down the church. Let's leave the bars open. Let's leave all that. You can ride in the streets and not worry about social distancing or masks or anything like that. We're not going to say nothing about that. But let's shut down the only place that there is a hope in the world, and that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just shut it down. And brethren, if that's the case and that's what's trying to be done, I'm going to assure you they're not meaning shut it down temporarily. They want it shut down. They want it done away with. And they'll give you all kinds of reasons that sound good and wonderful. They're not all good and wonderful. So their deal is they want to shut down the only place in the world that can give you a message of hope, peace, and love, and call you to be faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want that silenced. But it shouldn't be a surprise to us. Satan's been wanting to silence that the whole time, hasn't he? That's who's behind these people. You know, we're talking about all kind of conspiracies and theories. There might be some, but I'm going to tell you, look higher than that. Satan's behind all this, folks. We need to be praying for those people. And instead of watching, sometimes I have to repent. I'm telling you, I have to repent. Some of the things they say, I'll get so focused on them, I want to focus on the person instead of say, Lord, you know, have mercy on them. Open your eyes that they can see the wonderful truths that I've seen so that their thinking will be made right again. That's what's the matter. Their thinking's gone wrong. We talked about that last week in Romans 1. They think of some of the most unthinkable things when we talk about it. But here Paul is now. He's rejoicing in how the church is standing. Understand that. That's important that he points that out to me and you. Because that's what we should be doing as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he said in verse 9, he said, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Listen to what he asked for. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from a domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I know he says an awful lot there, but listen. This should always be the prayer for us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to always be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what that means also is how the Apostle Paul worded this as he speaks to the church now. And listen, as he speaks to the church at Colossae, he's speaking to the church here at Berean Baptist Church. Same message. It hasn't changed. It's same, no matter the name on the church, this is the message for the church. And he said, listen. He said, we've not ceased to pray for you. And what is he praying for? And we need this, brethren. We need spiritual discernment in this day and age. That we talk, I can talk to somebody about Jesus. I talked to somebody this past week, said they were a believer, and all that ever came out of their mouths was carnal things and this, that, and the other, and mistreating his wife, and she's not doing this, and that. And I thought, I was just thinking to myself, I thought you said you was a Christian. Yeah. Well, listen, if I'm a Christian, I've got biblical principles that take care of my wife and does away with all those carnalities and all those things. We don't live it perfectly, but we know what we're to be about. We've been told that. So Paul says, for me and you, that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. We want to know the will of God. We want to know the will of God. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So as to, why would we need that? Why do we need spiritual wisdom and understanding? Well, what did God call you to do? What did he call me to do? What did he call you to do? I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm talking about what is our calling as the children of God. We're to do what Christ did. Christ said, I came to do the Father's will. How is that manifest in Christ's life? He always, what he did, he always did it with one intention in mind. And that is to glorify his Father which is in heaven. Sole purpose. You'll never find any other reason. He never varied to that, to the right or left, right down the line. And because he did that, we're to follow his examples, Peter will say in just a little bit. When we walk, when we get spiritual wisdom and understanding, it's so that we can do what I just said, that we glorify our Father who's in heaven. How is that seen in this particular set of scriptures? Paul says it this way, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's discipleship. That's glorifying God. That's doing, fulfilling the purpose for which you and I have been set in the world to do. We've always been called to do that. We're always to be about the Father's business. You remember what Jesus said when they were rebuking him? You know, they got lost and they're looking for us. Where have you been, Jesus? And, no, you're not. I'm supposed to be about my Father's business. So being with them was far secondary. He said, may you be strengthened with all power. And here we go. We're not going to get very far in the scriptures, brethren, if we're being addressing the saints, where we're not going to come across some scriptures that are going to talk about the difficulties of life. Suffering. Biggest question that you ask as a Christian, if God is who he says he is, why is there suffering in the world? And we need to have an answer for that. We need to have an answer. You can't get down to specifics, but you know the Bible gives us biblical principles that we can glean on and understand. First and foremost, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered. We need not think we're going to get out of this life without some kind of suffering in our lives. And I'm not just talking about our physicality. We know as we get older, we're going to suffer different diseases and different things. Something's got to take us out, you know. But I'm talking about persecution. We're unfamiliar with that. I just confess to you, I've never been persecuted that much. Every now and then, family member perk up. Somebody will say something. I'll make it mention this. They'll say that. And I'll say this. They say it, and I'll say this. You know? And they don't particularly like it. We're talking about a greater persecution here now. I'm talking about John MacArthur's church. And that kind of persecution that may or may not come to pass, but it's at the door, brethren. That's what I'm saying. And I need to let you know that. And you need to understand what's going on there. Because if that happens, that truly will be the beginning of the persecution of the church. If the state can get in there and dictate to a church when they can and when they can't have services, it won't be long before they're going to dictate everything else. That'll just be the seed, see, the beginning of saying, oh, we want to regulate it, we want to regulate it, we want to regulate it. Folks on the other side of the world already know that. They're dying for their faith. And this is part of what's coming down the track. We're going to find out who's real, who's not. Yeah. Am I willing truly to do what Christ says? Will you die for me? Are we ready to do that? Do we know Christ in such a way that we don't fear that persecution and death? Brother, I know it's easy to stand up and preach and say it. We need to be thinking about that. It's coming. I mean, it's coming. I talked to my children and grandchildren, and I kept saying, you all heard me do it too, yeah, I really hate it for them coming down the road, what they're going to face. Brother, we're not going to face it before we leave here. Yeah. I never would have thought it would come to what it's coming to, but it's coming. It's coming. Well, Paul says, and this is almost not quite 2,000 years ago, right around in there. Listen to what he says. And the same applies to me and you today. Praying for the church, he says, may you be strengthened with all power. Where does all our power come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're victorious through him. We can do all things through him. We know all the scriptures. Here, and hopefully here, because here is where it's going to matter. If it's in here and it's a living, breathing part of us, then we're on good, solid ground. But he said, the reason I want you to be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, Paul wants us to understand the power source. Greater than any, by far. So we understand we have all power that's needed. Why, Paul? Why are you telling the church this? He told the church at Ephesus that those were sister writings. Almost you could lay them there, just about read the same things, same principles being applied. May be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. He wants us to be strengthened for endurance. Now listen, I might endure something with my teeth clenched and whining and complaining. That's not what the book says, is it? He said, endurance and patience with joy. 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 Ken Ham, I've been reading and studying, going back to answers in Genesis that you'll be exposed to and read. And when he gets up, he's talking about the Creation Museum and how important it is to understand Genesis 1 and 11 as it is. Because if we don't understand that as it is, how can we tell someone that Jesus rose from the dead if they don't believe the first part of the Bible? That doesn't matter. A lot of Christians say, well, I don't want to talk about that. Let me tell you about Jesus. Well, you better talk about that and know that's true. But he'll get up and one of the things he does is when he begins talking about it, isn't it an exciting time to be a Christian? And he's very genuine when he says that. Why can he do that with all joy like that? He endures a lot of persecution from his Creation Museum. He even had that, Bill Nye was that the scientist that came in, and you can go on YouTube and watch that, a pretty heated conversation. A lot of persecution there. He's had atheists come through there and make fun of this thing. But he stands firm and he's full of joy. Why? Because he knows the truth of God's word. Amen. And he's standing on it. He's living those principles. And so Paul is reminding them what they're doing that they might not forget that. But he said, I'm going to pray for extra things for you or special things for you. I don't know if special is the word, but it is special if we get all knowledge. He wants them to have spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wants them to bear fruit. He wants them to increase in knowledge that they might endure what's coming down the road. Now, we know they were persecuted. They died for their sake. We haven't had anybody step through that door with a machine gun yet and said, you believe Jesus or not? Are you willing to die for your faith? We hadn't come to that place yet. We'll say, Brother Joe, we'll never see that happen. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. If it's happened all over the world now, why shouldn't it happen in the United States of America? Look at our track record in the last 100 years. Are we going this way or are we going this way? Whew, we're going off the path. You know, used to be a Bible Belt down through the South. I don't know that you can really say that anymore. Used to be, in God we trust. Now, it should say on there, in God's we trust. Because now we have many gods that have infiltrated the United States under the guise of freedom of religion. That wasn't our forefathers' intent. They never intended for Allah to be part of that religious thing they were talking about. They meant one nation under God Almighty. They built their foundation on the Word of God. They weren't talking about any others to come in. Anyway, he said, be strengthened. I'm trying to get bogged down here. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience with joy, because you're going to need it. That's what he's saying. And then he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I don't know whether I can stand or not. We might ask ourselves that question. I don't know. I don't know whether I can stand or not. The Word of God says that you can. It said you're being strengthened, and we ought to pray for the spiritual wisdom and understanding, giving thanks to God, because God has qualified you. God has called you. God has set you to the side to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And it's not all hunky-dory. There's persecution that arises all the way through the New Testament. What do we talk about? Persecution, suffering. Every page, it seems like he's having to address that. Shoring up the saints, telling Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, I know sometimes it's difficult, but fight that good fight of faith. Fight that good fight of faith. Stand. When he talks to the church at Ephesus, stand on the promises of God. Put on the whole armor of God, and in that day, stand fast. Well, that day is fast approaching, isn't it? Seems to me, as it is. I don't want to be one of these that says, oh, the end's coming. But I'm telling you, the end's coming. I don't know when the end's coming. I don't like the signs that I'm seeing. It looks different from what I've ever seen. I don't think y'all have ever seen anything like that in your life. No. We've never had that authority questioned at such an extent as it is today. Brethren, don't think there's not a concerted effort to push Christianity completely away. We see that. Listen and see and watch what people do and what they say about Christians. They're empty-headed nincompoops. That's what they think you are. The only reason they talk about Jesus, they need a crutch to lean on. They can't handle life's difficulty any other way. That's not what God says about us. He said we've been called and been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What inheritance is that? We'll go over to Hebrews over there, and you'll find what kind of inheritance we have in the 11th chapter of that hallmark of faith. And what happened to them? Persecution. And finally, it's down and it's listing Moses and all the rest of them, and it gets down and said, these were faithful men of God, and they were sawn in sunder. They were cut in two. They had skins put on them. They were tortured. They were all kind of ungodly things happened to them. But God counted them faithful, didn't he? He counted them faithful. He recorded that in the Word of God that we might read that if ever a time comes upon us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. all things. Now, we're not just talking about just the church now. We're talking about all things. Everything is for the glory of God. God watches over that. He's given us biblical principles for how the world even is to conduct their business by the laws of the land. And we'll see that. We won't get to it today. We won't get to Romans. We're going to get there. We'll see that when we get to Romans. So we understand that we need to be in submission to authority. When you go on the highway and the speed limit's 55 and we go 56, what are we doing? We're breaking the law. We're breaking the law. You know, it gets down to that. Are we going to honor that? Do we honor that really? Are we to honor that? Most assuredly. Because he said he's got a police car out there that if you go over the speed limit, he's going to give you a ticket. And why does he do that? To keep law in order. To keep law in order. Keep you from having a wreck. All kind of things. God ordained it all. And he is before all things, and before him all things hold together. And as I said earlier, he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Christ is always to get first place. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. All those wonderful promises. I'm telling you what's true. We rejoice in that. We see what God in Christ has done, but it goes on to say a little more. If indeed you continue in the faith. If indeed you continue in the faith. What is he saying? We know it's not a works doctrine. We know that's not it. What is he saying? He said, my true believers, that all of these things that I just got through talking about, that God has done in Christ to us, made us reconciled to him, is manifest in what? Our faithfulness to him. Our continuing to serve God, no matter what the case may be. Our mark is to be a faithful man or woman of God to the glory of Christ. That is our design. That's how he said he made us, and that's exactly what he means when he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We labor in the hope of the gospel. Christ has come and redeemed us and reconciled us to God. We were irreconcilable at one time when we were dead in trespasses and sin, but by the grace of God, our hearts have been arrested. The blood of Christ has been applied. We repented of our sins, embraced the Lord Jesus Christ, calling on his name, believing in him, and now we stand as the body of Christ. Amen. That's what God has done. That's what amazing grace has done for us. And because of that, what is made manifest in life is that we do continue in the faith. There has never been one that has been born of the Spirit of God that did not continue in the faith. The Bible doesn't know of anybody like that. If someone doesn't continue in the faith that says, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said he was deceived to begin with. He never was born again. And brethren, the churches are full of those kind of people sitting under a false assurance that they're saved and they're going straight to hell. They're going straight to hell. The Bible calls us to be faithful witnesses. I didn't get near where I was going to get, but we'll get there. He's called us to be faithful witnesses. I believe out at California, is a major milestone in our lives, and we need to keep our eyes on that just to see how things are going to go. Because if it goes that they can close the doors of that church and begin implementing their supposed authority in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, there's a line being drawn in the sand that we have to take a stand and say, I will not let Caesar tell me what to do. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I'll serve him to the death if that's what it takes. I don't know that it's going to get that way. But brother, we know it ain't going to get no better. We know it's not going to get any better. But we serve a God that's in complete control. He's given us a mission. How are we to function in a world that's so hostile to us and to what we believe? In the spirit of humility, we bring the gospel to those whose eyes are blinded by the God of this world. We labor with them as we have occasion. Paul said, pray that an effectual door be open. Brother, if that effectual door not open, it don't matter, but it's still going to be a witness to them. It's still going to be used on them on the day of judgment. If they heard what you say and it's the truth and they don't embrace it, God's going to use it. That's another account. You heard that. He told you to repent and believe the gospel, and you wouldn't do it. It's going to be another block against that sin that's already up past redemption, unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us as a church to stand. Help us to understand what's going on in the world today, not to be overcome by it, but rather to look at it filtered through what God gave us to filter it through, the Word of God. And I'll tell you, when we do that, we find a greater peace and a joy. You all know it as well as I do. When you sit in front of that TV, it ain't long before that blood pressure starts going up. That's the wrong way to interpret that. That's the wrong way to interpret that. We need to interpret it through the Word of God. We don't have the right feelings towards those people or the right attitude. Paul says, they know you. Listen, I've heard about you. You're faithful. You're loving and you're full of hope. We need to share that with a sin-cursed world. There's people that need to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ can be found. God help us to understand that is my prayer for Christ.